Our God is a generous God. And our God, who is generous, has created us and called us to be generous as well. But we have to confess that it's not easy to learn how to be generous, especially when you're young. The late pastor and writer James Moore shares a story about two little boys, 5-year-old Kevin and 3-year-old Ryan. And one Saturday morning, Kevin and Ryan's mother made them their favorite breakfast. Pancakes! Darn tootin'. And knowing that pancakes were for breakfast, well, Kevin and Ryan did what any two loving brothers would do. They fought. Yes, they fought about who would be the first in line to get that first pancake. And not only did they yell at each other, but they were into a pushing and shoving match. Now, they had a good mama, and that mama saw this as a moment to give a good moral teaching. So she began, "Stop it! Calm down. Now listen, you two. What do you think Jesus would do if he was here?" Complete silence from the boys. So mama says, "Well, let me tell you what Jesus would do. Jesus would say, 'Let my brother have the first pancake. I can wait.'" In reply, a bright smile broke over 5-year-old Kevin's face. And he said, "That's a great idea, Mom." And he turns to his little brother Ryan and says, "Ryan, you be Jesus." Welcome to the second message in our series, To Know God is to Thank God, which is all about generosity. And I just wanted to start there because we have to admit that we feel that temptation for other people to be Jesus when it comes to generosity. But we have a generous God who has created us to be generous, who calls us to be generous. And that's what we are going to be considering today. What we learned last week is that is the primary reason why we are to be generous is that we owe everything to God. God who loves us. A God who is always with us. We owe to God our time. We owe God our talents. We owe to God our treasures. But we still struggle with exactly what that means. And so in this series, we're learning more and more about what it means to be generous. And I know that many of you have been going to church here for years are going, "This is Pastor Kevin doing another generosity message, another stewardship message, but it's just like everything else. We need to get back into it, don't we? Because we never know how far we stray off from being generous until we get into it." Now, in this series, we have a scripture that is helping us to focus. And it's one verse from Psalm 50, and that's verse 14. Can you guys put that on the screen there? "Owe to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving, and make good your vows to the Most High." Let's say that together. "Owe to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving, and make good your vows to the Most High." Last week, we talked about what it meant to owe to God everything. This week, though, we're going to dive in and take a look at what it means to offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving. And it's a little bit more than just giving an offering. In fact, it means a lot more. So let's build on what Lori shared with her children's time about sacrifices today. Reading scripture, you find that sacrifices were made by humanity almost from the very beginning. It's almost like it's a given. It's a given in our Bible that God exists. God's the main character of our Bible. Humanity is an important part of God's story. And humanity has been giving sacrifices to God. Genesis chapter 4, the very first book of the Bible, the fourth chapter, we hear the very first sacrifice. Cain, a farmer, offers the fruit of the ground, while his younger brother Abel, a rancher, gives the firstlings of his flock. The very first sacrifice. Now, the after effects of that sacrifice is a sermon for another time. But I'm lifting it up now just to say that's when we first hear of a sacrifice being made to God. And all through Genesis then, you see where sacrifices are being made. Noah offers a sacrifice to God once he and his family leave the ark, and he and his family and all of creation celebrate by offering a burnt offering to God on dry ground. The patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, all offer sacrifices to God. As we go through the history of the Old Testament, then we come to Exodus, where Moses is leading, and his brother Aaron are leading people from slavery, forming them in the wilderness to be a free people. And to be free, then, they are given the gift of the law, and that law helps to codify their sacrifices. As we continue to read through history, as we continue to read through the prophets, then we hear the story about how God's people, the Israelites, are to give their sacrifices to God. In the New Testament, when Jesus is born and Jesus grows up and starts preaching and teaching and healing, sacrifices are still going on. God's people continue to offer sacrifices to God until Rome came and destroyed Jerusalem in 70 AD, and then that practice ended because they were in a people that was dispersed everywhere. Sacrifices were important. I would have us ask a question, though. Why? What's so special about sacrifices? Last week we said that when we owe to God, when we give an offering to God, it's not about the offering, it's about who God is. Do you remember that? Well, God doesn't eat food, right? Don't read of that anywhere in Scripture. The psalmist in Psalm 50, would agree with that. Starting with verse 7, he says, "Hear, O my people, and I will speak. O Israel, I will testify against you. I am God, your God. Not for your sacrifices do I rebuke you. Your burnt offerings are continually before me. I will not accept a bull from your house or goats from your folds. For every wild animal of the forest is mine, the cattle on 1,000 hills. I know all the birds of the air, and all that moves in the field is mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world and all that is in it is mine. Do I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats?" So if God owns and knows and creates all the beasts of the field and all the birds of the air and all the goats on all the farms, why the barbecue? I think that's a good question. Why the barbecue? Because there are times where even the people get confused as to the reasons why they offer the barbecue to God. And of course, I'm being simplistic here. Offerings that were given were much more than just burnt offerings. Plants were also offered, crops were offered, and they were given as offerings. Wine was offered that was a libation to be poured out. All of these different offerings. But why? The people would often get confused as to why, and God would have to remind them, and God would often have to remind them that there are more important things sometimes than even the offerings that they offer. Here's a verse that may be familiar to you from the prophet Micah. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before God on high? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? God has told you, O mortal, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, and to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God? So we're left with why. The psalmist says, "Oh, to God, a sacrifice of thanksgiving." Why? Well, when we read Scripture, when we think about it, when we allow for its experience to speak to us, then we see that sacrifice is a way for the people to give. And as they give their sacrificial offerings, let's talk about exactly what they do, what the givers do. They take their crops, they take some of their livestock, and they go to Jerusalem, they go to the priest, and they give those items to the priest so that they can be offered up for the individual, for the family, for the community, for their well-being, and for a whole lot of other different reasons. A sacrifice is lifted up, and I want to share something with you. What they offer is not something that is extra to them. What they offer is their livelihood. They are giving these priests to give to God their food. Everybody offered a sacrifice, and mostly everybody was poor. They didn't have an economic system like what we have now in the United States of an upper class and a middle class and a lower class. They had teeny tiny percentage of people that were halfway wealthy, and everybody else, the majority of God's people, were very poor. So what they offered to God, who knows when they would, if the crop turned out bad, if they would have food to eat, if their animals, if they didn't have enough. I want to lift up what they are doing here. They are giving God a large part of who they are because they're giving God something else. And that is trust. They're giving God trust that the God who created them, the God who is always with them, the God who loves them, will continue to love them and to take care of them. And that's why they offer sacrifice. That's why it is a sacrifice. So many times, I don't know about you, I get into Scripture and it's like, oh yeah, give offerings here. And boy, those laws and rules are so complex. You get bogged down and, you know, give this and sacrifice this. And we never stop to think. I never stop to think about what the people are doing here. They are giving more than just out of their bounty. They're giving from their hearts. Because what they're giving is God, their trust, and what they're giving is love. That's part of their relationship with God. These sacrifices that they make are for them. Just like the sacrifices that we make are for us. Do we offer sacrifices anymore? Every Sunday we have an offertory time, and we ask for your material gifts of funds to help with the ministries of our churches. We live out God's will in this world, be a part of God's mission in this world. And we do that every Sunday with the hope that we will be able to continue to do that. But I know that that's something that we struggle with, because we sometimes come and we think, well, we're going to offer to God a part of what we have here. I've got this thing going on this month. I've got this thing going on this month. Oh, look, I've got this much. I'll give that to church. But that's not really sacrificial giving. That's more of, I give God whatever I have left over. Now, you know, that's talking about money. But it's not just that, right? It's also how we share our talents with other people. You may be a good teacher, but you've got so many other things going on that you just don't have time to be able to help with children's Sunday school. Or maybe you've got a gift of singing, but you've decided that, well, I still don't have time to be a part of choir, which Kip's going to talk about later, foreshadowing, or praise team, or even time. You get up early on a Sunday morning, and it's just really difficult to get up and you know, come on site or turn on the computer and worship. And it's just really difficult to just really engage, because you don't have. Well, when you offer a sacrificial offering, you give when you don't have. Later on, we have that wonderful scripture, which is shared in three of the Gospels, where Jesus is hanging out with his disciples in the temple, and he happens to notice that widow that comes. Everybody is giving monetary offerings in these little tubular, trumpet-shaped little offering things, and they're designed to curl that money around so that they make a loud noise, and people are coming and they slam in coins. They were the noisy buckets of their day, except they were the noisy tubes. And they would slam in those coins. Well, Jesus notices that one widow that comes up, and she puts in something. It doesn't make any sound, because it's just a half a penny. It's a mite. And Jesus saw that happen, and he turned to his followers. He said, see that? She gave more than she even had. More than anybody else who made loud noises in that noisy tube. She gave more, because she is really giving out of her trust and her love for God. So, there's some questions I would just ask as we consider generosity. And this is kind of meant to be a little bit challenging for us. It's challenging to me. How do we offer our time and our talents and our treasures, not because the church wants it, not because it's a duty, not because it's something to do, not because the pastor's talking about money again or all these other things, how do we offer all that God has created us to be in a sacrificial way? Out of thanksgiving. Not to try to get God to love us more. Not to try to manipulate God as though God was some sort of cosmic genie or Santa Claus that, look, Lord, look, I'm giving this. Hopefully my week will go easier. And then we get mad when it doesn't, because we are not giving with a sense of thanksgiving. But isn't our God amazing? Think of all that God has done. Yes, life is hard. Yes, we've experienced hardship and tragedy. But boy, we've experienced joy. And we've experienced great love. And we've seen how this world really transforms when people really offer themselves in true love. So I want to ask you to consider those questions now. And as you do, I want to leave you with a benediction. This comes from a from a Benedictine nun. And I just would let this video speak to you. If you're considering how you might give sacrificially, if you're wondering, well, how am I called to do that? I invite you to let this video speak to how God may give you the answer to offer your sacrifice of thanksgiving.
May God bless you with discomfort. Discomfort at easy answers, half-truths, and superficial relationships, so that you may live deep within your heart. May God bless you with anger. Anger at injustice, oppression, and exploitation of people, so that you may work for justice, freedom, and peace. May God bless you with tears. Tears to shed for those who suffer from pain, rejection, starvation, and war, so that you may reach out your hand to comfort them and turn their pain into joy. May God bless you with foolishness. Enough foolishness to believe that you can make a difference in this world. Others claim cannot be done.
No, I look around this room and look into that camera. And I know there are those of you that have done that. Whether you have the spiritual gift of generosity that the Holy Spirit has given you, or because you practice the spiritual discipline of generosity, you have embraced discomfort. You have felt angry. You have shed tears. And you've been blessed with foolishness. And you've done mighty things for the Lord. We can do even more things. Jesus tells his disciples, all of you will do even more than I've ever done with the Holy Spirit within you. So let's embrace discomfort that we see in this world. Let us feel angry at injustice and stand up against it. And let's shed some tears that may move us forward. Let's be blessed with foolishness to know that with God, we can do anything. And let us all make a sacrifice of thanksgiving. And all God's people said, amen.